This is Radio Influence.
When you are looking for the best Bucs coverage, why not go to someone who's actually been on the field?
B-U-C-C-A-N-E-E-R-S. Go Bucs!
This is the only podcast for the Buccaneers by a Buccaneer. You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to In the Trenches. This is Ian Beckles, and it's kind of the same old song. We're going to talk about the Buccaneers today. Maybe talk a little bit about the NCAA and what's going on there and people that are upset. But mostly we're going to talk about our Buccaneers that are just good enough not to win, if that makes any sense. They will figure out a way to lose a football game. Now, as a Buccaneer fan, you know, I watched the game amongst Buck fans, and we've all been unbelievably optimistic this year of what they were supposed to get accomplished. And I hear Buck fans saying this: we should have won the game. First of all, that should be on the back of our jerseys. We should have won the game. Maybe in the last few years, because let's just get this straight. The Bucs, once again, don't do anything consistently enough to ever think that they should have won the game. They've won games before. They've outplayed teams before. But I don't want to hear they should have won anything, because they're not better than anybody. Okay, if you say the Bucs should have won the game, would you think that you would give up just short of 200 yards rushing? Is that good? You can go back to the old Bucs, back when Monty Kiffin was here and Warren Sapp and all the fellas, and go and look how many times they gave up 200 yards rushing, and then look how many times they won those games. I would say probably zero. Seriously, first of all, you didn't run the ball 200 times against the Bucs, 200 yards against the Bucs. You just didn't. They gave up seven sacks, and we threw the ball 32 times. We could have won, but I don't want to hear that bullshit. We should have won. Hell no. Nah. You're going to give up seven sacks, sometimes to unblocked guys. From what I hear, Jason was saying that Jameis Winston was lighting up the offensive line. Good. They need to be lit up, but seven sacks against, listen, a very poor defensive front of the Green Bay Packers. Very poor. The Packers, I think, had 22 sacks going into the game and gave up 40. We had two sacks in the game, okay? My number 94, I don't even know who the hell that is, but number 94, one was an okay sack. The other one was maybe tackled up an inch behind the line. They really had one sack. And that's against a team that gave up 40 sacks, which has got to be the highest in the league. It has to be. We're playing against Brett Hundley and not Aaron Rodgers, and you're losing the game. That whole game, we had four completions to Evans and Jackson. Four. When we're down the whole game, you're going to have four completions to Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson? You really think that's winning football? You think that's the equation to win in the NFL right now? No way. Now, the Bucs had 80 plays, so that's probably going to be the most plays they'll have maybe in the next 10 years. And you really shouldn't lose a game that you have 80 plays. But if you're going to lose that game, you would do some of these other cockamamie bonehead things, like trying to throw the ball while you're under the grasp and you're just handing the ball off to number 94 Lowry as he trucks down the field. I never heard of Lowry before, but he may get Defensive Player of the Week if Clay Matthews doesn't get it. You know, Clay Matthews had 2.5 sacks yesterday against the Bucs. He was kind of picking his poison up and down the field. It was 2.5 sacks, but he probably hit the quarterback 4 or 5 times, different times, for those 2.5 sacks. By the way, Clay Matthews has 6 sacks this year, and he got 2.5 yesterday. It's not like Clay Matthews is a beast out there. And let us talk about our beasts. It's 2 weeks in a row where Joe McCoy and Baker collectively have had 3 tackles. It's 2 weeks in a row where people can run the ball whenever they want. Our guys are getting pushed around all over the place. And I wish that I you know, I don't like to go to one buck place, but I'd like to talk to Dirk Cutter and the defensive coordinator and all the people and say, you really think that he's playing well? Because at the end of the season, Gerald McCoy is going to the Pro Bowl. You know that, right? He's going to the Pro Bowl like he does every year. And then we have to hear about how dominating he is. I hear about how dominating Gerald McCoy is. The only time I hear about it, listen closely, is before the game. Before the game, they'll highlight Gerald McCoy, number 93, the unstoppable force, blah, 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 blah. And then the game starts, and you don't hear his name the whole time. He made one play yesterday. One. He slapped it inside, came back, made a good play. That was one play in a whole game where we're just getting trounced. And the other side, they're just demolishing poor Jameis Winston. Poor Jameis Winston looked like he was 80 years old by the end of that game yesterday. I don't know if he's going to make it. I'm not sure he's going to make it. And I'm glad to hear Jameis is tearing into some people because everybody's going to want Jameis Winston's head. Everybody's going to want Dirk Cutter's head. Everybody's going to want Jason Light's head where, you know, a lot of it is, and you know what? A lot of it falls on those guys. But our personnel is not that great. We're just not that talented. And if I'm going to throw up in my mouth next time people tell me how talented we are, because I always ask them, where? When has a team ever won in any level without a good offensive and defensive line? It's never happened. It can't happen. It's impossible. That's where it starts. It starts from the ball, and it goes out. And if you go to the football, if you're weak at the football, you won't win. Evan Smith's not good. He's not good. He's not a good lineman. He's a backup lineman. He went in there. He's out there fighting. Great. You know, Benenock's not good. You know, so what else are you going to do? We're missing probably our two best offensive linemen. We weren't all that productive when they were in there. But then you see Dirk Cutter knowing very well that he can't drop back and throw the ball that often. Once again, 32 throws, 7 sacks, and quite a few of the throws were screens. It's kind of hard to give up a sack on a screen. But seeing those linemen go out there and, you know, listen, I played for a long time, and there's a couple rules that every offensive line coach has. Every line coach has. This is the first rule in screens. First rule, don't look back. That's the first rule. On the first screen that they ran, Evan Smith ran out there. If he puts a helmet on somebody, they may get 30 yards. Instead, they got 10 yards on the first down. Great. But when you run out there in the screen, the second you look back to see where that running back is, the guys in front of you are disappearing. You can't look back. Don't worry about where the running back is. Go get your position, get your block, and let the running back come off of you. You can't. It's not going to help you to see where he is. And by the time you look back and look forward, that's a whole second. You know how far people can move in 1 second? That's the one rule. And I'm sitting there watching Evan Smith, who's an old school vet, doing exactly what he's not supposed to do early in that game. It was pretty evident that they wanted to run a lot of screens. Listen, the Bucs got to become something, a good screen team. It was not a bad thing. But you got to be able to beat people up front, too, if you think. You don't think you're just going to run screens all day long and let that work. It doesn't work. You know, if you come out 3rd and 8 all the time, it's going to be tough to get those first downs. You know, we give up a blocked punt, the fumble by Jameis. Jameis yesterday, I didn't think he was the worst player on the football field. I thought he played okay, considering. But 49 turnovers in 40 games, that's a lot of turnovers. It's a lot of turnovers now. He's still growing, we understand that, but we almost know win or lose, and unfortunately lately it's been lose. Jameis is going to make a bonehead mistake. He's going to make a bonehead mistake. And when you just give the ball up and you give 7 points away like that, you don't normally win football games. So could they have won the game? Yes. Should they have won the game? Nope. Nope. Because when you take it to overtime and you let the team just walk down the field, and the week before, and I discussed this in the trenches a week ago, on the last touchdown that they scored, there was 9 guys in the box, and they blitzed the corner, and the running back for Atlanta still got in the end zone untouched. Now, once again, we don't have contain for anything. We just give up the – I mean, contain is the easiest thing in the world. If you have contain, your job is to – this. You have one job, turn the running back in. And for 94 to have contained in the line and peek his head in and let the running back bounce out and score a touchdown, and you can see 94 during the play, he's hitting himself in the head thinking, that was stupid. But the great ones don't do that. Way back when, if that's Derrick Brooks out there, he has a strong outside shoulder. He keeps that outside shoulder free. He doesn't get reached, and he makes a running back run inside, and it's a 3-yard gain instead of a 20-yard touchdown, and you lose the game. So it's not rocket science why we're losing football games. We're getting outmanned. We're getting out-physicaled. We're really getting out everything. We really are. I mean, there's got to be some more creative ways to get Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson, O.J. Howard, one catch. I mean, O.J. Howard was supposed to be a difference maker this year. You know, we're well into the season, 12 games into the season. I mean, he's not averaging two catches a game, I don't think. I mean, that's not a huge difference maker to me. You can blame Jameis if you want. A lot of people will. But Jameis didn't have enough time to be evaluated yesterday. But this is what it's going to be the rest of the season. I told you guys before that Green Bay Packers game, once again, Brett Hundley, not Aaron Rodgers, this is the last chance we got. And if we lose this one, we may not get another one this year. And the Bucs are going to be underdogs for every game coming up the rest of the season. Maybe there'll be a couple double digits ones in there as well. And justifiably so. Because when we go play Carolina again, and when we play New Orleans, those guys are going to bring it. And how the hell is Jameis going to finish the season when he's getting killed against a Green Bay Packer team that's had problems rushing the passer all year? I thought Peyton Barber looked good yesterday. I thought he had fresh legs. I don't know how long that's going to last. You know, but Peyton Barber, you know, rushed for 102 yards. That's great. 4.4 yards a carry. Perfect. Peyton Barber leading the team in receptions, not good. Come on, with four, can't do that. It's not good enough. And listen, at one point in the game, the Bucs had 17 first downs. 17 first downs. You know how many points? 10. Something's flawed, man. Something's flawed. They had 17 first downs with 3 minutes left in the third quarter, and they had 10 points. The equation's off. Something is off, and it's a consistent thing. The only thing the Bucs do consistently is that they're inconsistent. I mean, yesterday they ran the football okay for once. Run the ball more. Why don't we run the ball more? If that's what we're doing well, go. I'm seeing a lot of miscommunication out there with DeSean Jackson and Jameis Winston. A lot. Not only the ball's going behind or soaring over his head, even a touchdown to Cameron Brate. That wasn't a great throw. It was a great catch by Cameron Brate. And Cameron Brate is becoming Jameis Winston's go-to guy. But Jameis, sometimes he has that laser vision, and he's locked into Cameron Brate, and he's not going to lock out. He ain't locking out, and he's going to get himself in trouble. But, you know, Cameron Brate right now is our biggest weapon. Boy, and if everybody would have thought that at the beginning of the year, Cameron Brate's one of our biggest weapons, well, good. You would think that would be 11-5 because he really should be no more than our fourth biggest weapon. And he's out there, and he's the one making things happen. You know, Jameis is fighting through injuries right now. At this time of the year, I'm talking about nobody's healthy. Nobody's even close to being healthy at this time of the year. And you gotta kinda deal with it at this time. And you saw Jameis kind of peeling himself off the field. And listen, Jameis is tired of taking the brunt of the crap. And it's kind of part of it. When you're an NFL quarterback, you're going to catch a lot of the crap. Now, there's certain things happen in the game. The Evans-Smith penalty at the end was kind of questionable. He had too many penalties anyways. We had a couple penalties, which can't happen. And it was just, as a whole, it just was a sloppy football game. You know, you're getting punts blocked. You're throwing fumbles/interceptions for touchdowns. And you have one of your more productive offensive games of the year, and you score 20 points. I mean, I'm watching some teams score 40 points, and their quarterback threw for 80-something yards. How does that happen? It just seems like the Buccaneers have to work really hard to score. Some teams make it look easy. The Bucs don't make it look easy at all. The Bucs make it hard to score in this league. So I don't know where they go from here. You know, Buck fans obviously are not talking about playoffs. I hope they're not talking about draft picks yet, although that's coming up here real soon. And real soon, these guys are going to have their vans packed, ready to go wherever they're going. And that's when the lockdown comes. I've been there. It's hard to keep yourself inspired towards the end of the football season. It's hard. You got to keep yourself mentally sharp, because I tell everybody this. If your coach gets replaced and there's a new regime, the first thing they do is they go back to week 17 and they put the week 17 film in there. And if you're poo-pooing on yourself, they're going to go, I don't like this guy's attitude. I don't want him here. He's not a fighter. So if you played well in the first 12 weeks, great. But whoever comes is going to put in that last week, week 17, and they're going to start evaluating you from there. So, you know, this Buccaneer team, I would think at this pace, they're not going to win more than 5 games. It's just not going to happen. Something has to happen at the end of the season. You just can't go from 9-7 to 5-11 and think that nothing should happen. I mean, something is wrong at One Buck Place. I don't know what it is. I'm not there. I'm not behind closed doors. But somehow the equation isn't working, whether it's the evaluation of talent between Jason Light, Dirk Cutter, whether it's the coordinators not getting everybody in the right spot. You know, it's really late in the season for guys to be in the wrong spot and not have contain and be doing bonehead things and elementary things on the offensive line and not blocking defensive ends. Like little things like that you do in preseason. That's what preseason's for. But it's really, really late in the season for these guys to be messing up the way they are. And as a Buccaneer fan, I feel we found ourselves just kind of shaking our heads like, you got to be shitting me. Like, again? Like, this is how we looked last year. It's how we looked the year before. It's how we looked the year before that. And last year, we thought we were kind of taking a corner, and it looked a little bit better at times. But we've just reverted back to what we were. And that's a very inconsistent football team. That has I think towards the end of this season, the next 4 games, we have the toughest schedule in the NFL. That's not conducive to winning, not the way that the Buccaneers have been playing. Now, going to Lambeau Field, you got beautiful weather. It's 50 degrees. You got a backup quarterback. You got a defense that really hasn't done much all year long. And they were ripe for the picking. And we couldn't do nothing with them. Are they world beaters? You know, the Green Bay Packers used to be world beaters at home. The last home game that Green Bay had before the Bucs, you know what happened? The Ravens shut them out 23-0. So they're not world beaters now. And we certainly are not either. And I guess it's going to be interesting coming down the back end of this, because there's going to be a lot of eyes and a lot of different numbers. There'll be a lot of eyes, a lot of different positions. And I predict something's going to happen, maybe not before the end of this season, but something's going to happen when this season's over. There's no doubt. Something has to happen, because the average Buccaneer fan doesn't want to continue to watch this because it seems like it's a broken record. And, like, I don't want to hear about we should win anymore. Let's just go on the football field and put some people out there competing. I don't see enough competitors on the football field. I don't see enough competitors on the football field. I don't see enough guys running around trying to split helmets and trying to split wigs. I don't see it. I haven't seen it really all year long. I'm seeing some people running around there like almost like they don't want to get hurt. And that, you know, makes me sick to my stomach, because, you know, these guys are getting paid too much damn money. And you're too damn blessed to be running around thinking about, you know, it's towards the end of the season. Let me try to get to next season. Because a lot of y'all talk a gang of shit all year long. Talk about we're this and we're that. And I'm going to have this many sacks. And I'm going to do this. Nobody cares about your talking anymore. Let's stop talking. Like, literally, Dirk Cutter needs to say to everybody out there, everybody listen up. I don't want to hear no more talking from nobody. Because nobody deserves it. Nobody deserves to talk. Nobody deserves to pound their chest. And I mean nobody. Nobody on this Buccaneer team this year can literally say, I played well this year. None. Brett Grimes, I think, has played okay, but he's missed games. You know, you can't pound your chest. Our linebacking crew is pretty good. But they didn't play well enough. They didn't make enough plays. We didn't get enough interceptions. We don't force enough fumbles. We really don't do anything consistently on defense. And offensively, I'm not even sure what system we run. I'm not sure exactly what we're trying to get accomplished. I'm not sure if we're a vertical team. I'm not sure what we are. At the beginning of the season, I thought we were going to be a team that utilizes a tight end. Hey, we got two great tight ends. Well, I thought we'd be a team that utilizes the tight ends and get a bunch of mismatches out there. We haven't really done that. We haven't seen a game where Cameron Brate and O.J. Howard go off. That'd be nice to see. We haven't seen a game where Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson go off. That'd be nice to see. Really, how many offensive players have we had this year go off? Very few. I mean, very, very few. And this season's getting real short for people to start going off at this time because everybody's banged up now. And everybody's looking around. Everybody's feeling sorry for themselves. And nobody else gives a crap. Nobody else around the league gives a crap, that's for sure. So our Bucks suck. I mean, I don't know how to put it scientifically. And I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for something to be stirred up. And real, real soon, hopefully. Now, for those of you that love NCAA football, I love it. I don't love it quite as much as I love, watching NFL football. But a lot of people, some people are up in arms about Alabama getting in and Ohio State not getting in. I'm a Big Ten guy. I would have liked to have seen a Big Ten team in there. What the selection team has to do is they have to put a rule that you have to win your conference game to get in. That just makes sense because to say that Alabama is cut and dry better than Wisconsin, I would say they probably are. But you guys weren't in your championship game. You can't benefit from not being in your championship game. Ohio State was in the championship game, beat an undefeated team, and then they both get out? And that's really counterproductive for the Big Ten, period. And the Big Ten, top to bottom, I think is pretty darn good now. SEC is not that great top to bottom. At the top, they're good. Top to bottom, they're not nearly what they were back when. So, Clemson deserves to get in, and Georgia deserves to get in. And when it's all said and done, I'm not sure Alabama's still not the best team. Watch. Because towards the end of the season, when you give Nick Saban enough time to prepare for somebody, he's going to be hard to beat. Although those Clemson guys are pretty much pounding their chests. So that's all I wanted to say about some college football. If you guys want to get in contact with me, you contact me, Ian Beckles at Radio Influence. If you have any kind of questions, whether it's Buccaneers, I also have another podcast, A Flavor in Your Ear, which comes out on Friday mornings, where we talk a little bit more politics and a lot of other things, pop culture and stuff like that. But I know you guys are big football fans. I know most of you are big Buccaneer fans, and I know you're hurting like we are. And, I sit down every week and watch the game with Buccaneer fans, and I just think we've deserved more than we're getting this year, unfortunately. And we're already talking about wait till next year, and I think that's a shame because there's just too much football left for us to be thinking about next year. So everybody have a wonderful week. Let's hope the Buccaneers figure out a way to get it done next week, and please be safe. Peace out.
Follow Ian Beckles on Twitter at Ian Beckles for all the latest on your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Chris Landry inviting you to join me for Landry Football Podcast every Tuesday and Thursday. We'll give you the coaching and scouting angle to the college and NFL game. Film breakdowns, scouting reports, X's and O's, the latest inside scoop, coaching search information. We've got it all for you. I'll take my experiences as a coach and a scout and bring it to you, the fan, to give you access to the best football information on the college and pro level. Join us at LandryFootball.com. And remember the Landry Football Podcast right here, as well as Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.